Idaho has struggled to find doctors to fill a growing need throughout the state. Training of new doctors has been limited to the WWAMI, that's the WAMI program. It's a partnership between University of Washington and five states, including Idaho. And WAMI, though successful, can only enroll a small number of students each year. Governor Butch Otter has called this problem, quote, Idaho's critical doctor shortage. In 2016, he announced a partial solution, ICOM, I-C-O-M, or the Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine. That's based in Meridian. That school is a reality. Students at ICOM can earn a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. That's a D.O., as opposed to a Doctor of Medicine degree or an M.D. And with us today is Dan Burrell, founder and trustee of ICOM and the CEO of the Burrell Group. That's the firm that is the main funder of ICOM. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So your family has a history in the healthcare industry. You told me off mic you're from upstate New York. Why did you want to get involved in creating ICOM in Idaho?
Well, I moved to the Mountain West a little over 12 years ago. And when I moved there, we were in a number of different sectors, one of which was healthcare and had exposure in medical education, more philanthropically than anything. My father started his career working in public health. And spent quite a bit of time working on primary care and developing the primary care patient-centered model that he has followed through on throughout his whole career. My mother was a guidance counselor and then ultimately went on to be a principal of a university. So I have a family that has a long history in not only healthcare but education, strong commitment to public service. I worked myself in public service for quite some time in the White House. But then also out on the campaign trail, kind of advocating for some of these very issues. So when I moved into Mexico, I wanted to stay involved, not just in the world of public service, but also in some of the areas in which I had intellectual passion, and medical education was one of those. Worked very, very closely to build a foundation at New Mexico State University. At that time, New Mexico was struggling from a budgetary shortage to try to create comprehensive medical education. They only have, at that time, 100 students, MD program, even bigger than WAMI, to try to service an enormous geographic area, a very large state. And if you look at the Upper Mountain West, the five-state region that we mean to serve, you're dealing with even a much larger geographic area.
And remind us the city that New Mexico State University
Las Cruces,
is in. Las Cruces, which is on the southern, southeastern.
Yeah, they call it the Borderplex region, and that's been one of the most chronically underserved regions from a doctor shortage perspective in the United States. It also has an aging population, and so those problems are getting better, not worse. So interestingly enough, if you look at that Borderplex region and then you look at some of the challenges that have been faced or are being, you know, trying to be addressed in the Upper Mountain West, they looked very similar.
So you saw similarities between the Las Cruces, El Paso, Juarez area with the Upper Mountain West, big geographic differences, some needs that needed to be met.
Yeah, and let me be clear. When we started this process, we never envisioned more than one school. We were trying to solve a problem in the region that you just described. But the model, which is first in its kind, public-private partnership between the university as well as with an independently accredited medical school, had never been done before. And so I think there were some questions as to whether that model, could rapidly deliver students into the workforce and whether we could do it with high-quality, competent, caring physicians. And I think what we've proven is that that model is succeeding extraordinarily well and becoming now really a model for the nation. And I think one of the things that we were able to celebrate today, other than the fact that we've built one of the largest state-of-the-art facilities in the country for medical education.
At Meridian.
Is that this is something that's here to last. It's here to provide the services that I just described to you, and we get to celebrate watching our first inaugural class, who are very excited to start their courses, begin their education. And that's just an incredible day for us.
Well, it's got its work cut out for them. Idaho is 49th out of 50 in the country when it comes
Correct.
To the number of doctors per capita. And 27% of Idaho doctors are over the age of 60.
Correct.
Many face retirement. There's definitely a handoff that needs to be made to a younger group of doctors. So DOs, osteopathic medical professionals, as opposed to MDs, it's been said that they're more likely to stay in rural and underserved communities. Well, first of all, is that true and why? And what does that mean for the Mountain West?
So historically, DOs have gone into primary care, general practitioners, internal medicine, and primary care. So that's just sort of one data point. Whereas on the MD side, you've seen more into specialties and subspecialties, which have aggregated in larger metropolitan areas. I think what you'll find is that the DO, especially if you look at the DOs that are coming out of that will be coming out of ICOM, lifestyle is very important to them. Being very patient-centered is very important to them. A holistic approach to medicine is very important to them. And so I think they have more freedom in a geographic area like this to treat the entire patient, whereas I think that's infinitely more challenging when you're in an environment geographically where maybe the resources that are available to a patient are more readily available. Our contention would be that getting back to a patient-centered primary care methodology is actually where medicine is going. We believe that putting the primary care back at the center of all of the care and where appropriate, obviously, using the resources of specialists and others to come in and look at very specific problems is an entirely appropriate thing. So but both have their roles.
Right. Healthcare is often a series of handoffs to different specialists. You're talking about the primacy of that primary care
provider. Who owns
that
patient's care at the outset, right? And what we want to see is that primary care has a very good handle on not only the diagnostic aspect of evaluating the patient, treating them holistically, preventing unnecessary procedures, medications, and things of that sort that drive up care in the healthcare system, but then getting them to the proper specialists where it's appropriate.
We're speaking with Dan Burrell. He's the CEO of the Burrell Group. Interested in philanthropy, healthcare. It's the investment group that's the main funder of Idaho's new medical school, ICOM, which is a private for-profit college. Tell us about that model. Is this becoming more of a norm in medical school?
No, I wouldn't say it's becoming more of a norm. The historical model has been based around university-centric, funded through the state, and then ultimately administered through the state. The funds are administered through the university. In poorer rural states, unfortunately, that's sometimes just not an option.
So the legislature or the universities aren't making room for the medical schools. You see an opportunity to come in with...
Yeah, and I think if you spoke to the governor here or the governor in New Mexico or, frankly, the governors across the entire Mountain West, they'd be very open with you that for decades that there's been an objective to accomplish this task. And I think at some point, the acute nature of the doctor shortages just said, look, 10 years down the road, if we keep having this conversation, we're not going to have a solution. And the only solution right now is to recruit students early, pay for their medical training, i.e. their residencies as well as their or a portion of them, their clerkships, and to kind of bring them into the region. Now, the challenge with that is that the retention rate often can be low because these aren't communities that these individuals...
So the worry is you train them and then they leave. They go to another state.
And the taxpayer picks up the bill for that. So, you have the taxpayer through loan forgiveness and through other scholarship programs and things of that nature make a big investment in getting these students here, but they only keep a small percentage of them.
Dan, you mentioned the graduating class on the horizon. Let's talk the numbers. How many students are expected to be doctors?
162 students per class.
And why Meridian? Why did you pick Meridian as a showcase?
Meridian is there's a very large graduate medical education center there through Idaho State University, our partner. And so we just felt that it was appropriate to create a campus. Mm-hmm. So certainly we could have done it in Boise or other locations. Land wasn't really the primary issue. What was the issue was creating a collaborative work environment where all of the degree programs collectively could sort of tie together.
And you mentioned a public-private partnership a bit ago. Mm-hmm. ICOM is a private college, let's be clear, but you're in partnership with Idaho State University. How will that play out?
The way it plays out, I mean, and I'll just give you an example. You know, Idaho State had a relatively small anatomy lab, and we had designed our school around our needs. So we've been able to combine our anatomy labs, you know, for a variety of different reasons to create one of the largest anatomy labs in the United States. We're able to do joint faculty appointments, joint research grant making. We're able to have some duplicity and redundancy in the faculties, such that the students faculty to student ratio is much higher than would be typical. So there's a lot of things that we're able to do by linking our ships that I think really augurs well for both institutions.
So also to be clear, students spend 2 years on campus, is that right?
2 years doing their didactic training, you know, and that's really in the classroom, working with other students, test taking, et cetera, et cetera. Then you go out into your clinical rotations, and those clinical rotations are really exciting because it's the first opportunity for the students to get out into the field and really practice medicine. But they're not physicians at that point. Then they go into the residency component, and now they are, you know, physicians who have graduated, and they are still going through various licensing, things of that sort, depending on what kind of specialties they want to go into, because they've got to go through that residency program to accomplish that. But they are physicians. And so I think, you know, from our perspective, our curriculum looks virtually identical to any other curriculum in the United States. You know, we have the 2 years, and then depending on which residency or specialty area you want to go into, the residencies will extend that long.
And then the hope is that they stick around.
Yeah.
We've been speaking to Dan Burrell, the founder and trustee of Idaho's new medical school, ICOM. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.